Welcome to another Rick and Rob Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
And I'm Rick Drewer.
First off today, we'll look at how the semi-final for the Boston Light Cricket are going, because we've got the grand final this week between Sandy Creek and Angaston. Angaston beat Kapunda on the weekend, 163 to 141 runs. By Bew Beister and scored 42 runs for the winners, and Craig Bain got 34, while Brett Woodard took 7 for 37 in Kapunda's innings during their spot in the big game. Sandy Creek had a surprising win over Freeling because they scored 116 and Freeling responded with 83, so there was time for a second innings. And Sandy Creek scored 104 and Freeling only got 103, so very low scoring semi-final there.
Very low scoring. Probably the pressure of the occasion. It's the old story, isn't it? It's another game of cricket, but call it a final and all of a sudden the brain plays mind games.
Absolutely. And our friend Diner, who we spoke about previously with his run-scoring feats with the Sixers, he scored 68 runs out of the 116 for Sandy Creek and also took 3 for 45 in Freeling's second innings, while the Hill Brothers, S&L, scored 5 for 21 and 3 for 17 in Freeling's first innings in just an amazing sort of game of cricket. Unbelievable.
Very, it would have been a spectacle to look at. It would have been very interesting.
Now, on the we often talk about baseball and cricket because it's summer, and obviously Rick's involved heavily with cricket and myself with baseball. Well, last night they had the medal counts for the Caps medal for the baseball and the Bradman medal for cricket, and traditionally they're always on the same night. In the baseball medal, it was a close call with Wes Realmer from Glenelg getting 41 votes to get home by Riley Moore from Port Adelaide on 40. So he won by one vote. They're both US imports, as is the third place getter, Tyler Krabeski from Goldaglen Central Districts with 32 votes. The first local lad is young Creswell from Goodwood, scored 31, and Tom Fiebig from West Island scored 31 as well.
Well, in the Premier League for cricket, it was virtually an opposite story, where the Bradman medal was won by actually 9 points, which is a large margin, by Simon Roberts, who is a former Redbacks rookie, 30 years of age, and he's the first Sturt player to win the Bradman medal in 14 years. Runner-up was Alex Carey from Glenelg, who was probably at a bit of a disadvantage because he's played the last three state games, so we don't quite know what might have happened, but a 9-point victory is pretty convincing.
Yes, now today we're going to talk about some our favourite books for our chosen sport. We intend sort of doing other sporting books later, but Rick's going to just talk about his favourite couple of cricket books, and I'm going to talk about my favourite baseball book. So, Rick, first off, what's your number one book?
Well, my number one cricket book is a book called The Paddock That Grew by Keith Dunstan, which was first published in 1962. And it's a very special book because of not only my love of cricket, but it was also awarded to me, in all modesty, as the school captain's prize at Scotch College. It does follow the entire history of the MCG. And, of course, as we know, cricket grew, or the reason for partly the MCG is that they wanted to invent a game to keep cricketers fit during the off-season, which eventually grew into AFL football, or Australian Rules Football as it was originally called. It's a fascinating look at the creation and then the development of the MCG, and obviously, with all the trials and tribulations we had here of political correctness and whether we were going to redevelop the Adelaide Oval or what we were going to do, the MCG's had more facelifts and changes from just because it needed to Olympic Games and so forth. And it's a really interesting book.
Okay, and what about your second choice?
My second choice is another sort of connection, in that it's a book called Scarlet, written by Ashley Mallett. And there's two fascinating things. First of all, it's a very well-written book. Secondly, Ashley Mallett is a South Australian cricketer who I actually had the privilege of playing with. And one of the interesting things about Clary Grimmett is that not only was he a spectacularly successful cricketer, but in my school days at Scotch College, we used to practice on Tuesday and Thursday nights after school, and at lunchtime on Thursdays as a sort of promotion for cricket, where other students could come out and watch us practice. And our special guest coach on all of those Thursdays lunchtime was the one and only Clary Grimmett, who is a very old almost bent over man, could still turn the ball absolutely yards. And his test record of 37 tests with 216 wickets at 24.21 is quite remarkable. He was the first test player to ever reach 200 test wickets. And in a remarkable 248 first-class matches between 1911 and 1941, he took an amazing 1,424 wickets at 22.38. Five wickets in an innings, he took 127 times, and 10 wickets in a match, he took 33 times. So the boys, I think, had trouble in playing him.
Yes, and the thing about you, Rick, is you love your stats, and I love my stats as well, and I see some of your other choices there are statistically based books.
They are. It's just my hobby. They're basically all surrounding the history of Adelaide Oval. One's called 100 Not Out, A Century of Cricket on the Adelaide Oval, written by Sidney Downer, a fascinating book. And the other two are possibly even more sort of statistically driven. One written by Chris Hart called The History of the South Australian Cricket Association. And the other one written by Bernard Wimpress and Nigel Hart, Adelaide Oval Test Cricket 1884 onwards. Both interesting and fascinating reads.
Are the two Harts there related at all?
To be honest, I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, tough question to put you on the spot there, but now just looking at some of the baseball books that take my fancy. The first baseball book I ever had was back in 1971. It was Daguerreotypes of Great Stars of Baseball, and of course that was full of statistics of the greatest players of the game up to that stage. And there's a lovely pencil drawing of Babe Ruth on the front. And whereas it's not my favourite book nowadays, I've still got it in my collection. I still occasionally pull it out.
Well, it's a lovely drawing or picture of him on the front, and I haven't had the privilege of reading it, but I'll take your word for it.
Now, my favourite book is a obscure book. It's called The Bottom of the 33rd, and basically it's written by Dan Barry, and it's about a game of baseball in the minor leagues in America that took place on April the 18th, 1981. In fact, it started that day, but it went for over 8 hours, so it went over to the 19th of April, and they still didn't finish the game, because they couldn't contact the commission to find out what time they had to stop the game. So it kept on going and going and going. And eventually they contacted the commission at something like 4 a.m. in the morning. And he stopped the game, and they finished it off. They only played another innings or something about a month or two later. But the interesting thing about the book, it was a Rochester Red Wings against the Pawtucket Red Sox. And they had a couple of future stars of the game, and Cal Ripken Jr. was playing for the Red Wings, and he eventually got the most consecutive games played to beat Lou Gehrig's record, and Wade Boggs, who won numerous batting titles for the Boston Red Sox later. But the book sort of covers all the players, and it goes through and it tells the story of the game, and it takes breaks between the innings talking about the players and the incidents. And it's just, it's spellbinding the way it's written. And I turned my hat off to Dan Barry, because he had me all the way right through the book. And it's a book that I've read a couple of times. And I sort of like just always think of it as a top quality book, which encapsulates the true spirit of the game.
Yes, there's a touch of genius about authors who can add things rather than just tell the story of a game or statistics of a game, that can basically with words paint pictures of how certain personalities are, and that is the secret to a magic book, I think.
Absolutely. And my second choice is Sporting's World Tour by Mark Lamster, and it talks about Al Sporting, and he got his Chicago White Stockings and an All-American team, and he toured the world, including Australia. And whereas baseball had been played here in Australia earlier, he left a chappie here called Simpson, who basically got competition going in South Australia, Victoria, and he started getting it going in New South Wales, but he passed away while over there. The whole tour, the way it's told, the insight, the research that goes into this book, it's very close to my heart, what I love to see in the history of baseball. And because it's got that Australian side of it, it's just a fantastic book. And it's the type of book I've lent it to a couple of people, and they've come back a bit tatty, so I've gone and purchased another book. That's how much I like that particular book. Now, honorary mentions, there's the year the Mets lost last place. And the New York Mets was a team that sort of come on the scene in 1962, and they were always one of the bottom teams. But in 1969, they actually won the World Series. And they're called the Miracle Mets because it's a year that man landed on the moon and a whole range of different things. But this book focuses on a mid-season week and a half where they played 9 games of baseball, including 6 against the Chicago Cubs, which were their combatants for their division. And just the uniqueness of sort of encapsulating a period in a season, I found it, you know, quite interesting. Another book is Baseball's Greatest Hit, and it talks about the story of Take Me Out to the Ball Game. It's written by Andy Strasburg, Rob Thompson, and Tim Wiles. And it's like an encyclopedia about the song Take Me Out to the Ball Game, including a list of everyone that's recorded the song. It's got posters, it's got film reviews, it's got a whole heap of lovely old photographs, and it's just a well-made book. And the last one I'd like to talk about is A History of Australian Baseball, Time and Game, by Joe Clark. And Joe's a baseball historian from Sydney, and he put that together, and it's just a fantastic read. And whereas it's not as thick as sort of a lot of other books, he's encapsulated quite a bit of what made baseball in Australia what it is today.
Fascinating stuff, Robert. I'm intrigued, particularly with the lost last place. You wouldn't want to say that after a few beers in a hurry, would you?
Well, I haven't had any beers, and I struggled saying it then.
I noticed that. But they're really interesting, the sound of those books. I wouldn't mind borrowing the one that you've already recycled a number of times. It sounds fascinating.
No, it is. Well, that's all for the Rick and Rob Sports Show for today. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
And I'm Rick Drewer.